G2, number 5A.
Well, I just want to summarize a few of the points we have been discussing yesterday. We have been looking at those various curves that show how in the whole evolution of mankind and of man's knowledge, there is that great tendency from the horizontal development, the linear development which we have seen on those charts, always horizontal, until, remember, at this point we saw that everything turns from the horizontal into the vertical, and that we were asking ourselves, what is that phenomena, or what is the idea behind that phenomena which makes the horizontal turn into the vertical, which makes time concept turn into the isness, which is that which really impels mortal man and human evolution to mutate completely into that which is vertical, namely which is consciousness, which has no more anything to do with time and matter. So this was our problem which we have put, and we are asking then ourselves what is working behind the scenes. And in order to do that, we were considering the way mankind and also we as a whole were thinking. And so that in the linear way, it is that atomistic thinking which is additive, which has therefore that tendency from cause to effect and accumulate, whereas the vertical, where the linear development turns into the exponential direction, shows that something quite new is at work, that it is that new thing which takes the end for the beginning, which takes the isness as the present fact, which anticipates, so to say, ultimate perfection as the present state of being, which also shows that the whole sense of history, which has always been a sense of going forward backwards, of going forward, as I said yesterday, with the back to the future and looking what happened in the past and drawing the conclusion from the past to the future, there is a great turn today to turn around completely and no more look at the past, but look into the future and to the whole, into the perfection of the whole, and anticipate, live in the now. It's the ontology of the not yet manifested, as they call it, that is nowadays in the focus of the thinker's consciousness. It's a new ontology which takes the end for the beginning. Something naturally which we know from the Bible and which we have been culturing for a long time. But today it is all over the various sciences that this is the attitude. Now, we were then considering that this horizontal development was mostly due to our atomistic thinking in the law of causality, adding fact to fact, and that we have seen that this must give room to the scientific thinking, to the categorical thinking, putting many, many facts, isolated facts, into one category, categorizing them, so that for a multiplicity of facts, you just remember that globe which we have, but for the multiplicity of facts, we have just one category or one symbol. That therefore the redundancy of facts can be put into one super symbol and therefore simplify the whole structure of consciousness. We then have considered the meaning of science as really that method which does this very thing, to bring back, to reduce the multiplicity of facts, the infinite facts, to categories, combining categories, and also by doing so, giving us, as a second point, giving us the method with which we can be creative. Where therefore, once we have the categories, then really we are off on ourselves, so to say, and can let those categories restructure themselves infinitely in a creative way. Another point which we have to try to fix in our thought was this, that just as a point in geometry is something very abstract that doesn't exist, like a line, but that a point in geometry is a point of intersection of categories, so too in our subject we should see that a spiritual truth by itself does not exist, that the spiritual truth per se is nothing per se, but is a intersection of two or more categories. So that instead of trying to think in atomistic ideas, in single facts, in fragmentary ideas, we should re-educate ourselves in thinking in categories, and no more so much in single truths. Though for the religious sense, the single truths have always been quite a help. But something which has been a help in the past does not need to be a help in the future, just as the problems of today can't be solved with the methods of yesterday. So we have to see that we go forward and are synchronized within the whole development of the idea impelling itself on mankind. When we have come to the term structure, and I said that structure is a term which is very difficult to define and which in the general literature of the various sciences is used and is not yet used so definitely that one just knows quite exactly what it is, especially in comparison to the term system. And we have tried to feel our way into that subject by just looking at some of the phenomena. What structure can do, you remember that we have taken that little, that little example from Gauss, from the 1 to 10 and added, and instead of having this linear sense, this additive sense, he began to see groups of structure, and he just saw that there are 5 groups of constant, namely 1 and 10 is a constant 11. Each group of those 5 has the same constant, and therefore he could see instead of taking the additive way, he just can take the structural way and have a much quicker way of calculating than the additive way. This is naturally shown even clearer when we add 1, all the numbers from 1 to 100, and we can see that this rather laborious way of adding, we can reduce that additive sense into a structural problem like this and see that 1 and 100 is 101, and it has 50 of these equal groups, of these unchangeable groups, so that there are 50 groups at 101, which is 5050, a very quick way of coming to a result. This is just an example to give the feel of what structure can do to us when we take the infinite subject, where we have from 1 to infinitude, and instead of getting acquainted with each one of the single facts within that infinitude, we drop all those things and just see structure, which shows another point, that structure is that which makes these infinite truths, so to say, irrelevant for our consciousness, so that instead of infinite truth, we just stage structure. And it's only a question of finding the right categories, building up the structure, and culturing those categories properly and purely in our consciousness, so that we have, instead of these infinite truths, we have really only the structural sense of the whole sense of being. And you can see that this takes away quite a bit of the burden. Then at the end we were trying to take a few definitions of what structure is, and have seen that the characteristics of structure is, for first of all, relationships, but not so much arrangement as in a system. In a system we arrange facts in categories, whereas in structure we consider the relationships existing between the parts, but, and this is the main thing, but always as part of the whole, in an organically organized whole. One of the definitions was, a structure is the sum total of relationships which maintain the communication, and this we haven't touched yet upon, the communication, that comes later, which maintains the communication between the different parts of the whole. So it is always seeing each part as a part of the whole, and therefore we can see that each element or each situation, each event, each experience, each what we used to call a fact or a situation or a event, must be seen not as A, but must be seen as structure. Therefore, the structuralism, as it is called, structuralism, we have seen, is that method of procedure which transforms every problem into a structural problem, which transforms every problem into a structural problem. And what that means, really, I would like now to try to convey and to make that clear to myself too. It's a bit too early. Well, you leave it. Just before that, I want to say that what structuralism does, and you see, this is now the key note for the next hour, what structuralism does, is that the object under consideration and its elements are to be seen as point of intersections of what? Point of intersections of multivariate systems of reference. It is not just a point of intersection of categories, as we have it in systems, but it is a point of intersection of whole systems of references. Now, we have a whole lot of system of references in Christian Science, you know them. A system of reference is the synonym matrix, it's the Cartesian matrix, it's all sorts of matrices. Therefore, structure will be that which can take in a lawful way, in a systematic way, and show the interrelationship and the point of intersection of multivariate systems of reference. And I tried to show that, and I hope that your consciousness doesn't get dizzy when I show it out of the multitude of examples, but they are all examples which you all have been studying. So I hope it's all right. First of all, about structure, you know that today mathematics is taught in a new way. That it's, I think it's called the new math, is taught in structural way. The definition in one of these math books about mathematics sounds very different from what we used to have as a definition of mathematics. When we went to school, we thought mathematics had to do with numbers and had to do with calculating numbers and so on. The definition which is given today in one of these new math books is that mathematics is the finding of new structures. You see, it has nothing anymore to do with, so to say, with numbers, though naturally numbers enter in, but as very subordinate and as very secondary, whereas primary, mathematics today, right from the beginning, even in kindergarten already, is tried to be shown as the finding of new structures. Now, this is something which the older generation can hardly understand. And the trouble the teachers have in school is that the children can't go anymore home and do their homework and ask daddy and mommy to help them. Because already in the first or second grade, mommy and daddy just doesn't know how to help. Well, I say this because it's so typical for the present era and so typical, really, for the mutation of consciousness for us too, if we want to see that the divine idea which drives us from the horizontal to the vertical naturally demands a new consciousness, and if it must be an integrated consciousness, if it wants to be vertical, then naturally it must also be willing to accept a completely new approach to the subject of the science of being. So if we just take here an example, and I don't know very much about the new math either, but I have taken these few examples. They help a little bit just to get a sense of what new math is from a book which is written for the parents. You know, the best sellers we had in the German literature on the bestseller list for a long, long time is a book which is the new math for parents, so that the parents are introduced into the subject, and out of the very first pages I just show you this simple thing. This is, you see, the table from 1 to 99, you see, therefore the whole table of numbers. Well, perhaps in our times we would have been interested in all these numbers and add them and subtract them and so on. But today they don't do that. They give them this table and say to the kiddies and say, try to find structures. Which one is the next one? Yes. So here is a 5 structure. You see, every 5 is here in blue. The 5, and then the 10, and then the 15, and you see that what they begin to see is that this is a very uninteresting structure. It is not very interesting. It's not artistic, it's not aesthetical, and so on. And it's a nice thing to see how more and more exact science is combined with aesthetics and with art. You know, somebody, I don't know who it was, says that next century perhaps we call Einstein's simple formula of, how do you call it in English? E equals MC, like this, huh? This great formula, and call it the best poetry that has been written, because it takes such a great range of consideration, the great range of energy, the whole sense of energy, and can put it in such beautiful, simple language that it is really artistical. Well, here they try now to teach people structure and see structure. I can't go on and say what they do with these kind of things, but it's it looks so simple to us, or it looks like playing with it, but it's quite interesting when one reads on what they can do with it. Now, we take another one. The genes, they find quite a different structure. And this is already much more interesting. It's the tree structure. Every tree here is pointed out. It gives very wonderful diagonals. From this they can learn, after a while, quite a lot about the structure of mathematics. We just close this and leave it. At this point, I just want to indicate, you see, that a completely new generation grows up. A generation grows up which does no more think the way we have been thinking. Namely, we have been seeing yesterday too that the two main fundamental lines of scientific reasoning were deduction and induction, whereas today they see that a higher method is requisite, namely not so much deduction and induction, but structure. That this is a method to reach, to get to approach the subject in a much more efficient way. And so, in this way, the consciousness of the children are cultured in thinking about structure, in groups, and so on. And it's most interesting to see what can be deduced from structure then. All right, we leave that. you see, all what I wanted to show with this really was that we gained a quite more direct and integrated sense of a subject, no matter what that subject is. With us, it is being itself. If instead of that linear way, we can see the structural way. One of the nicest examples out of chemistry which we really have is an example which brought in quite a new revolution at that time. There was a man, a chemist, Kekulé, well, I don't know if you know him, Kekulé, and he was finding something, and this, again, I speak in illustration, I speak in symbols, I must speak in symbols just as Jesus was speaking in symbols. And he was interested, like the whole chemistry at that time, in the benzene, you say benzone, what do you say, benzene ring? Does anybody know? Yes, benzene, yes. But for quite a while, they were in chemistry also looking at things always in a linear way, in a way of chain, and they had this phenomena that they had this benzene structure like this. That was the formula they were thinking that it was, and working on that, it's a chain, you see. Five years back, yes, it's right. It is a chain, you see. And they were working on that. They knew it is composed of this, see what you call it, carbon, and the H, hydrogen, you call it, you see, in that measure. And every time they made experiments with it, they saw that it didn't really rise. And yet they knew they had so many C and H's in it. But they always found that when they made the experiment, that something much more terrific came out, which they couldn't explain. Until one time, Kekulé, and that's very interesting to see, he was a chemist, but at the time when he was not thinking about chemistry, when he was sitting in front of a fire in the evening, and a certain came along, and it's not quite clear if it actually happened or if he had the vision. It's told, that story is told two ways, but it doesn't matter. Had the vision or the fact that a serpent was biting in his own tail. And this, by analogy, switched, and he thought, oh golly, this this serpent here is not like this. He is biting itself in his tail. And so it begins to see, It begins to see that this whole thing is like this. It has the same amount of seeds, and each one there an age. And this, I don't understand it. You may not understand it, but you can see it is the same thing in a circle, combined, now structured, and it has the same elements. But the moment they begin to see that, a whole new field, the field of aromatic chemistry, was opened up, a terrific field. It was a complete revolution in the chemistry, just by one single analogy which he has, namely, to get out of the linear way, of the chain way, of the sequential way, and see that this is a structure, and actually you can start here, or here, or here, or here, or here, or here, doesn't matter. But the moment they, and then later on, if you look into a book of chemistry, you see all these pictures as symbols for the new chemistry. I hope I have explained it more or less exact for not being a chemist. But all I want to show with this, you see, is that a structural sense of consciousness is bringing forth so much more than a linear way of thinking. And that this structural sense is really that which John Dawley began to feel. He never spoke about structure, and I think he wasn't aware of structure in the purest sense. But he was feeling his way, and we always must think that John Dawley, if he had been with us now, he wouldn't say what he had been saying 20 years ago. And so let's just go slowly through the way how the whole thing of structure began to develop. We take first, we have seen that a system is really what we have said, a intersection of categories. And it can be presented in matrices form. So the very first thing I think John Dawley first had, when he had the category of the seven synonymous terms, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, now we take the next one, that he began to see that these reflect each other. See, this is the mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and he began to see, naturally, that mind is reflecting mind, and is reflecting spirit and soul, principle, life, and truth, and love. And we have called this the seven times seven, so to say, therefore already showing intersection of categories. Here, the categories are very, very simple. There are just one category, the synonymous term, and therefore blending or interjecting. So I have called this, I don't know if one already can call it a matrix, I just called it, usually one puts in this square, always the title of the matrix, whatever the matrix is. In mathematics, this is an addition matrix, one puts here a plus sign, or a subtraction matrix, and puts here a minus sign. Anyway, here we have begun, he has shown the seven times seven. Now, with this seven times seven, he could open up various books of the Bible. He was showing, say, for instance, this very pattern here. He would show it, say, in, I think, the first time in Joshua. He laid it out in the seven times seven, the whole text. This is Joshua. Well, he showed afterwards the book of Judges in the same laid out, the seven times seven. See? Afterwards, I think the next time he showed was Samuel, first and second Samuel in one. Also this, you see? Always minus mind, minus spirit, minus soul. Afterwards he showed it in, I think, first Kings, first book of Kings, and so on. See, he shows, say, those various books already, no more just as a story, but he put a pattern on it, and he gave this layout. I don't like to call this yet a system nor a structure, but I would say it is a laid out. And he gave, usually he was talking also that way, and said, this is the layout of churches, or of Joshua, or of Samuel, or anything like that. And naturally that brought us already order into the multiplicity. I'm glad you know that word. Of the big subject. I mean, for instance, if we take 1st and 2nd Samuel together, it's quite a big book of many, many, many chapters and pages and verses, hundreds and hundreds. And so it could, through this way, reduce the whole subject to a form which is very systematic in a way, very balanced. It's a wonderful layout. I say it is a layout because we can't call that yet a structure. The question is if Judges is laid out that way, or Joshua is laid out that way, and Samuel is laid out that way, why did the Bible repeat itself? Why did they give three examples if it is the same thing? Apparently this layout here is not complete, or else the Bible repeats itself. So it must have another category or another system intertwining with it in order to give to each of these layouts its real structure. But this has not been the case at that point. Naturally, this is a layout, or let's say it is a layout of the word way, because it's the word way. Because you know very well that there are other books in the Bible which have already a slightly different touch in it, a 7x7, but from the point of view of the Christ order here, of Prince, I didn't make this one because Manfred was working all night for me for doing this, so we left the other one out. But you know, for instance, that you have books like with the Christ, 7x7, the second, for instance, Second King, John Dolly shows, here, principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. But here, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, you see. Therefore, there are already books, it's a pity I don't have this, because it's already beginning to evolve out of a very simple layout of the same order, multiplied by the same order, comes to the Christ, which already takes two different orders of the synonymous terms and blends them. Like we have it in 2 Kings, we have it in Jeremiah, we have it in Mark. See? Well, again the question, is there no difference between Jeremiah and Mark? If this is the layout. But we know very well there is an enormous difference between Jeremiah or 2 Kings and Mark. Therefore, apparently, this layout doesn't yet give structure, doesn't yet convey the whole structure. It only is the right step that we have been making, sorry to say, we, John Dolly, has been making, you see. And so, little by little, we come to the insight that we have to be much more definite in the classification. All right, then, then we go to a still more intricate, can you say intricate or interwoven sense of layout. The next one. I come first back. You see what we had yesterday, where we not only had the word in it, like we had before at the matrix of the seventh time the word, or in the seventh time Christ, but we can see that each one, like Christianity, can be shown in this order and naturally intertwined with the word. Or we can have signs intertwined with the word or with the Christ or Christianity or signs. And so we get here what is shown here. You see, this is already a greater or a more complex sense of layout. I still call it layout, not yet system or structure. Now, can we take the next one, Manfred? And just, if you have that in mind, keep that in mind, what I had before. Oh, no, sorry.
15.
Yes. All right. Just take it away for a moment. Sorry. Sometimes, that's the first time I think I didn't quite... what I want to say, when you have that in mind, which I had before, you see, that layout, which we had before, yes, please do it again. This layout here. We have, for instance, John Dolly showed that, for instance, in Daniel. He showed the whole book of Daniel in this layout. He showed the whole book of Zechariah in this layout. Again the question, though it is already a more complex layout, we have two, three or more books in the Bible, or perhaps in chapters in the textbook that are laid out that way, but they are not the same. Again, can you see that a question must still be answered? What is the difference? And what makes the difference? And the difference that is made, we cannot say, well, the one is in the Old Testament and the other is the New Testament. Because Old Testament and New Testament are terms which mean something. What is the meaning of that in scientific terminology, in structural terminology? So, if we have this, you see, in Zechariah and in Daniel, and just keep that in mind after a 10 or 20 minutes, I come back to this again. We just still have the question that it is only a layout up to that point.